United States against Martinez Munjua.
Morning, Your Honors.
We do allow people to get seated.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I didn't notice.
Mr. Eagle.
Good morning, Your Honors, again. Thank you. Your Honors, I intend today to be brief, unless, of course, there are any questions, because I think the issue is straightforward in what was submitted on the briefs, and I don't want to just take the Court's time to rehash the briefs. The gist of Mr. Martinez's argument is that the sentencing judge failed to take into account, in analyzing the 3553A factors, the cooperation that he gave to the government. It began when the judge basically said that he didn't have the authority under 5K1.1 to issue a departure because only the government could make that motion, which is true. However, the judge does have the authority under 3553A to take into account the cooperation that Mr. Martinez did give.
Isn't that exactly what Judge Zagel said?
Judge, that's what Judge Zagel said, but it's not what Judge Zagel did.
He doesn't have to do it. The only basis on which we could reverse is if the judge didn't understand the nature of his authority. He articulated on the record what you agree is a perfectly correct statement of the scope of his authority, but he doesn't have to use it. That's the holding of cases like Rita and Gall this term. But what's left?
Judge, what's still left is that the cooperation that Mr. Martinez gave should have still been considered under 3553A, and I don't see any indication from the record that the judge gave it even a moment's thought. The government themselves acknowledged that there was value to the cooperation and recommended the low end of the guideline, which the judge did not follow. Obviously, Mr. Martinez wanted even a greater level of cooperation. But even so, the parties were in agreement that his cooperation under the 3553 had some relevance in order for it to be a minimum of sentence.
Judge Zagel said the following: I'm glad he has cooperated with the government. It is possible that if the information turns out to be very valuable, the government will exercise its authority to come back, authority that only it has, to seek a modification. But I think the probation officer got this one precisely right. He considered the cooperation and didn't give it much weight, if any weight,
Judge,
as he's entitled to do.
I actually read that completely different. I think what Judge Zagel was saying was, I'm leaving it all up to the government. If the government decides that information is very valuable, not just valuable, but very valuable, they can come back and have the authority. That's not addressing the fact that he had the authority right then to say, I believe that the cooperation that Mr. Martinez gave, including informing the government of the relationship he had with the co-defendant, which the government up until that time...
Exactly right. He has the authority. He does not have the obligation. You want to say he had the authority, therefore he had to use it, but that's just a non sequitur.
Judge, I believe he has to consider it, and I don't believe from the record that he considered it at all. He dismissed it, as a matter of fact, rather than saying it has no value. The government conceded it had value. I don't think that the judge can, when he's relying on the government's representation of how valuable that was, to simply dismiss what the government asked for. So it's Mr. Martinez's position that the judge did not, under any circumstances, evaluate that portion of his cooperation under 3553A, and that is the basis for why he wanted...
Well, the government didn't suggest that this cooperation was worthy of anything but a mid-range guideline sentence, right?
No, I believe that Mr. Heistad suggested that that was why he was asking for a low-end...
Low-end guideline sentence, but not a non-guideline sentence, and that's what you're asking for here. Right?
That is what Mr. Martinez was asking for, but I'm using the point Mr. Heistad...
I mean, the government didn't suggest that the cooperation was so valuable that it warranted a non-guideline sentence.
Judge, it had value to Mr. Martinez in a low end versus the 42 months that he got.
Well, it's always going to have value to the defendant. The question is what value it has to the government.
But that still is the point. While a few months of a low end versus a mid-range may not seem like much to the court or the parties involved, it is to the individual that has to serve that extra 4 or 5 months inside. So when the government does say after he came forward, Mr. Martinez, and cooperated and told them information that they did not have before.
So what are you suggesting Judge Daigle should have done to make this sentence stick? I acknowledge the cooperation the parties have alluded to, and I reject it or discount it or give it no weight. And then it would stick. Probably.
If obviously I would not have been able to go forward if he had indicated on the record at what weight he had given it. The fact that it appears that he didn't give it, he didn't even discuss whether he gave it no weight or not, renders that, and the fact that the government did say it had weight, that they believed it was a low end. So yes, we would like it remanded for a resentencing so that Judge Daigle will take into account the cooperation that Mr. Martinez gave. And if there are no further questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Histed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Cliff Heisted, and I represent the United States in this case. As this court observed in September 2007 in United States versus Ross, cited in the government's brief, it would be a stretch for us to conclude that a district court would not know, some 2 years after the decision in United States versus Booker, that the sentencing guidelines are not binding. Now, is there any real doubt that in this case, that in April 2007, Judge Daigle did not know that the guidelines were not binding? He made it very clear, as your honors have acknowledged on the record, that he understood he had the authority to depart downward to issue a non-guideline sentence, and he declined to do so. The record is full of references that demonstrate his understanding of his ability to go outside the guidelines. For example, during the plea hearing in December 2006, the court admonished the defendant that he could receive a sentence other than the one he expected to receive. And the court told the defendant in these words, although the guideline range is the usual range in which sentences are imposed, I don't have to follow the guidelines. You understand that, don't you? He said to the defendant. And then at the sentencing hearing in April 2007, addressing the issue of the defendant's claimed substantial assistance, the court noted, insofar as I read 5K, absent the government's motion, I'm not to consider that, then following in the very same sentence, although that's not as important as it used to be because I understand that I am no longer bound by the guidelines. These are Judge Daigle's very words. Indeed, the court's statement at the end of the sentencing hearing was, I'm sentencing within the guidelines, understanding, of course, that he had the option to go outside. And he pointed out that this was the defendant's third conviction and said, therefore, he was unwilling, not unable, to go below the guidelines. And reading the transcript, you'll see that Judge Daigle was quite concerned by the lengthy criminal history that Mr. Martinez Munguia had, and that he made it clear that that was the basis for his declination to go outside the sentencing guidelines. As well, there was some discussion about the claimed assistance that Mr. Martinez had provided, and the government made very clear that that assistance was not timely and it was not substantial, which is what is required under 5K1.1 back in the days when that was the rule that the judges had to follow. The government made it very clear that it was not acknowledging that it was substantial assistance that was provided, but that he had come in, the defendant had, months after pleading guilty, in sort of a last-ditch effort to come in and talk to the government. There was some value. In fairness, we made that clear to the judge. We made it clear to the judge we did not support or seek an outside guideline sentence, and the judge took that for what it was worth and, in fact, acknowledged on the record, as Your Honor has pointed out, I'm glad he cooperated with the government. It's possible that if this information turns out to be valuable, if it turns out to be valuable.
I think it's really necessary to belabor this.
Very well, Your Honor.
You didn't go back with a Rule 35, did you? Did you come back later?
No, Your Honor. Yeah, I should have prefaced my remarks like Mr. Eagle did by saying that I would be brief. I just wanted to direct your attention to the portions of the record that make quite clear that Judge Daigle was aware of his authority, declined to issue an outside guideline sentence, as was his right. And unless there are further questions, the government will rest on its brief. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Eagle? Well, Mr. Eagle, thank you very much for accepting the appointment in this case. We appreciate the assistance you provide. The case is taken under advisement.